Hey there, you're listening to What the Riff? Join us as we remember the great rock and roll hits from a month between 1965 and 1995. We're going to riff on all things about the bands, the members, and the goings-on during that time. We hope to inspire you to find and download the songs you hear today, whether you're fans who forgot about some of these tracks or maybe never even heard them before. Check out our blog at whattheriff.com or follow us on Facebook at What the Riff. Here's a shout out to our sponsors, Right Column Financial, offering CFO and bookkeeping services for small business, Stanton Electric, a commercial electrical specialist, and Marbury Creative Group, a brand development agency that helps companies tell it better. So let's turn up the volume and enjoy this episode of What the Riff?
Oh, Canada officially becomes the national anthem of Canada. Ronald Reagan is nominated for U.S. president by the Republicans. And the 22nd Summer Olympic Games open in Moscow, Russia, but the United States and 66 nations boycott the event because of the Soviet-Afghan War. This is July 1980, and you're listening to What the Riff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Bruce.
And Brian is bringing this classic heavy metal album.
Gentlemen,
woo! Are you ready?
Yes. AC/DC is the name of the band. Brian Johnson is the lead singer. You've got Angus Young on lead guitar. You got Malcolm Young on rhythm guitar and back vocals. Cliff Williams on bass, backing vocals. And Phil Rudd on the drums. Gentlemen, this is Back in Black. It is as of December of 2019. This was 25 times platinum.
Whoa. I believe it.
Wow.
We played the fool out of these cassettes when I was a kid.
But this is a great story of a great band. Brian Johnson took over for Bon Scott, who unfortunately... This album was released in July. Bon died in February of 1980 from an alcoholic fixation. He was basically on a binge night of drinking. Everybody knows the story, but a friend of his, he couldn't hardly walk, so he put him in the back seat of a car. He threw up, he drowned in his vomit, and they found him the next morning in the back of the car, unconscious, brought him in, they had pronounced him dead immediately. So the band considered breaking up.
Yeah.
But their friends and their family said, no, keep going. So they did. And the Back in Black is a tribute. The Black album is a tribute to Bon Scott.
Oh, that's why it's black.
Yeah, that's why it's black. And the ironic thing is, you would think, well, they probably got some information, you know, or took something from Bon, you know, lyrics or, you know, riffs or something, but they didn't. So this is a true new chapter in the band's history.
Right.
They audition singers to come in. They look at Brian Johnson. He played with a band called Jordy. I don't know anything about him. Mm-hmm. But he comes back for a second, rehearsal with him. And then Malcolm Young says, you're it. So this completely blew Brian Johnson out of the water. He didn't think he had no chance. Well, guess what?
That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So these guys are working with Mutt Lange, and they're coming off a big album with, you know, Highway to Hell, and they're just really starting to peak.
Right.
But this, when it was recorded and released, shot them to huge superstardom.
Oh yeah, it's just got a fresh sound to it.
Oh yeah.
So, well, at the time you had disco, you had a bunch of really kind of so-so music, and you still kind of had rock, but you didn't have this head-banging, kick in the rear end rock and roll that people were waiting for. I think the only one out there really was Van Halen that was playing music like this.
Well, they're the same genre, because to your point, they're playing that upbeat, kick-ass rock and roll.
Right.
But I mean, just this guitar by Angus
Listen
Young.
Listen to that, yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah,
sick.
You know,
that's
it's going to build up.
That's trademark AC/DC, isn't it?
It's a staple. And if you know, I've seen these guys in concert before, and Brian Johnson is the perfect complement to Angus Young, because Malcolm's in the back. He's playing rhythm guitar. Everybody's doing their thing. What do you got Angus doing? He just completely takes over the concert. Mm-hmm. You know, dancing across the stage in his little schoolboy outfit. Yeah. You know, the knickers and...
That was so goofy. I didn't like that. I love their music, but I didn't like him doing that. That's weird.
But you know what, though, Rob? The energy the guy had.
You're right.
I mean, my gosh.
You can't argue with the energy. I mean, every one of those guys was just drenched in sweat, playing their heart out.
But, you know, they're known as an Australian band. But really, the ironic thing is, and they are mostly from Australia, but both Angus and Malcolm are Scottish.
Huh.
I didn't know that.
I've seen them wearing kilts.
Yeah.
So that explains it.
Well, they had the bagpipes in a song. I can't tell you what the song was, but on a previous album, they had bagpipes on their song.
Did we name this song?
Well, we're going to do it right now. Thank you, Bruce. This is Shoot the Thrill. We're not going to play their two big hits that everybody knows, which is, of course, Shook Me All Night Long and the title track, Back in Black.
Or Hell's Bells.
Right, Hell's Bells. So here's the thing. I've said it before. We used to listen to this on the way to school every morning when I was an 11th grader junior. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you it contributed to my hearing loss because we played this. And just think about how excited you were to get out of the car and just ready to go in the day.
Yep.
I mean, and I got to give them credit. This is the first I'd ever heard of AC/DC. Mm-hmm. Personally, so that was Shoot the Thrill.
Ooh, yeah.
We're now going to go for one of my favorites on the album, which is this song, What Do You Do for Money? So let's face it, guys, there is no really unique theme. There's no really unique theme to these four songs that we're going to play today. It's all about partying, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Right.
That's all it is.
And the title of this is actually What You Do for Money, Honey. Right?
Exactly.
Which gives you all the information you need to know about this song.
Yeah, the other song, of course, is Let Me Put My Love Into You. Gee, I wonder what he's talking about.
Subtlety was not their strong suit.
No.
This album, front to back, is great.
Not a bad song.
It is one of those ones. If you're a little bit more mellower on some of the songs, believe it or not, if you like that blues-based rock and roll, is what they consider themselves.
Absolutely. Here we go. Hit those high registers, boys. Anyway, getting back to the band history. For this album, they had to, you know, they got with Mudline. They brought on Brian Johnson in March of 1980. So they said, okay, we got to write new material. We don't want to do anything that Bond. So that was the ironic thing. They didn't bring anything, like I said before, didn't bring anything that Bond had worked on. He actually laid down some drum riffs on What Do You Do for Money, Honey? And he also did for Let Me Put My Love Into You, which is, you know, a very nice family song. But he laid down the drum riffs, but they did not use them. And that was kind of in tribute to him as well. They didn't want people to think, oh, they're just cashing in on Bon Scott's legacy. Anyway, they start recording, and they want to find a place in London to do the recording. There's nothing available. So they have to go down to the Bahamas.
Have to. Tragedy.
Well, here's the funny thing. Brian Johnson in an interview says, they put us in these little cement square rooms, and it was just horrible. The weather is awful. So if you ever hear when he's about Hell's Bells, he's talking about lightning flashing across the sky. He's describing the weather that he was experiencing.
Hurricanes coming down.
Coming on like a hurricane. You know, yeah. So like he's describing what's going on down in the Bahamas at the time.
Wow.
So, but anyway, he said there's the landlord of where they're staying, or the manager, says, oh, well, be careful because the Haitians come down from the hills at night. So here's some 6-foot fishing spears that you need to keep by your door in case they get into your door.
Wow.
So how do you like that, having a 6-foot fishing spear?
To protect yourself from the Haitians.
The Haitians that are coming down at night. And they'll steal everything.
Uh-huh.
So Brian Johnson said it was a mess.
Wow.
But anyway, they finish recording. And then they bring it, of course, and they mix the tracks up in New York. And it's just an amazing story. But anyway, with Brian Johnson's voice here, it's at its prime.
Yeah. It's so high. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing.
He's hitting those very high registers.
You really can tell listening to the drums and the guitar. You just know it's AC/DC.
Oh, yeah.
If you just heard that.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just, they had it.
Oh, the rhythm section's great.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Did you want to say?
I was going to say the song I was talking about with the bagpipes was Bon Scott doing the bagpipes on One Way to the Top.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I remember I saw it somewhere.
Now, here's one of my other favorites. I got all kind of favorites on this. But this is the B-side. This is Have a Drink on Me. This is the B-side to their first single release of Trick Me All Night Long. So how would you like to have that 45
Well, and on the, if I remember correctly, on the album, this comes right after "Shook Me All Night Long," because that little first guitar riff, you hear it at the end of "Shook Me All Night Long." Yeah.
So this is, I mean, I don't know how many times we'd be out and just have this playing in the car and just cranking it up. Yeah.
And so did you drive or did you ride with somebody?
The car I drove did not provide any good sound system. So I was always...
So my guess is whenever you got into the car, there was a certain song playing because the guy probably started the album when he got in and he went to pick up his friend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Brian's track number 4. That's usually when we get to Brian's house.
That's right. No, but a shout out to David and Jimmy Kaltenbacher because they used to ride to school in David's car.
Awesome.
It was an old 74 Monte Carlo. It had the swivel seats in the front. It was a coupe. And he had the speakers in the back instead of having them embedded in the back of the... These were propped up and facing the back of my head. And I guarantee it contributed.
My parents had a 77 Monte Carlo with those bucket seats.
Yeah.
The funny thing is you call it a coupe means it's a two-door. The thing had to have been about 25 foot long.
Oh, it's huge.
I mean,
it huge.
The doors was like 6 foot.
Yeah.
Trying to get in and out of those. Interesting.
Man, you could really bang some other car doors next to you whenever you open those up.
Just for a second, I remember riding to high school with people. Like sometimes different people would drive, or they'd pick. You know, your car was broken, so it's like, hey, can you pick me up on your way in? And just dark on the way to school, and somebody would have some cassette that they would be playing to wake you up. And this is a great one.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, I drove a 1970 Chrysler Newport, and that had an AM radio. I was inherited, so there was no jamming in that car, unless somebody had a boombox going on.
Now, Rob, were you the one that mentioned the blues influence on these folks?
I can hear it, but I don't know if I mentioned it specifically.
No, I mentioned it. If you go back to the earlier albums, actually their brother helped produce it, who was with the Easy Beats, which was another. We actually spotlighted them as a staff pick. His brother helped produce it, and they were more of a blues-based rock and roll. If you go back and look at those, there's actually flat-out blues songs.
Yeah, I remember listening to that.
So if you go back to the early one, Jailbreak and stuff of that sort, you'll hear that.
This riff feels like a blues riff to me.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see that.
It does, yeah.
But this is actually their seventh studio album release.
Wow, they've been around.
And what happened was this was such a huge success that Atlantic Records said, well, let's re-release their previous albums in memory of Bon Scott. So their other ones shot up. Highway to Hell shot up. All these other ones, because of the success of this one and in memory of Bon.
Right.
It just propelled them to the top of the rock chart. I mean, they were just on fire.
And what is this song about?
Have a drink on me? I think he's a bartender.
Oh, okay. Very good.
This last one we're going to hear is the last song on the album. And I can't think of a better way to end an album.
I got goosebumps because this is my favorite song.
Oh, heck yeah.
And to me, it builds.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're sitting there and you're just going, okay. Well, it's
a little melody. You give me chills now, Wayne. It just slowly builds. And this is really one that takes a little drag there.
It does sound very bluesy.
Then the drum.
Yeah.
Definitely you can see blues in this one.
Oh, yeah. You see, I just see them sitting around in a circle just kind of bobbing their heads. Just. And then all of a sudden it just kicks in right here. It just makes good sense, right? Thank you very much.
Good sense.
And on three. Oh, man.
Excellent.
How could you not end it?
Look at me.
How can you not end an album with this song? I mean, come on.
What's the song?
Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution.
It's just rock and roll.
Now we're getting back to the sex, drugs, and rock and roll theme of the album. Just think about how Brian Johnson must have felt when they recorded this. I mean, the pressure that he was under to follow somebody, you know, as dynamic and as as successful as Bon Scott. But my goodness.
I was just, it mentions during the intro, Brian lights a cigarette and takes a pull from it. I'd never heard that before until just now. That's pretty cool. I was looking to see if anybody else had covered it. Could you imagine a blues band, you know, covering this? That would be really fun.
Now, there is a group called Hazy Dixie.
Yes.
Bluegrass, huh?
That covers this. That covers AC/DC stuff in a bluegrass style. It's actually pretty good. It's
funny.
Yeah,
it is fun.
But it's good.
Yeah, I've seen those too.
And there's a 2003 tribute album called Back in Baroque. And the string tribute to AC/DC.
Okay.
And it was covered in 2004 by death metal band 6 Feet Under from Graveyard Classics 2.
Well, at the time of the recording, guys, we just celebrated the 40th anniversary of the release of this album. So,
oh, wow.
And it still is selling to this day.
This song was in an Applebee's commercial in 2016.
Really?
Yeah, can you believe that? They were trying to get some people coming in.
You know advertising guys are our age. Of course, you're in advertising because they're all using these songs that you go on. Wait a minute. I remember Hell's Bells when it was played at Auburn University during the football game. It started coming up, and I went, you guys do know, you know, it's not really, you know, down south Southern Christian type thing, song that you're playing Hell's Bells here in the big gong.
Yeah.
They didn't get into the lyrics there.
Yeah, exactly.
I have grown an appreciation of AC/DC the older I've gotten.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, when they came out, I wasn't a huge fan.
When did you first hear about them?
Oh, I remember people playing it in 19. Yeah. I remember this album being played.
This was the album where I was introduced to AC/DC.
As for me.
Yes.
As for me.
Yeah.
Highway to Hell. I mean, come on.
I wasn't aware of that, though.
There's a road going in Grand Cayman. There's a place they call Hell. And I'm singing Highway to Hell. And my ex just was sitting there looking at me, just shaking her head because we went to it.
Yeah, see, I was introduced to this in the summer of 80. Right as Shook Me All Night Long was just released. Mm-hmm. And I go, who the hell is that? And I just remember thinking, somebody had the album and that was it.
Great album.
That was it.
It's what?
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Brian.
Oh, man, my pleasure.
Ah, man, now we're moving into our entertainment track. This is brought to us by Right Column Financial. And what do we have here, Wayne?
In July of 1980, we had two of the greatest comedies to ever be released. This one is by Kenny Loggins, I'm All Right. It was the theme of Caddyshack.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
And the other comedy was Airplane.
Yes.
And Bruce, you were mentioning, what does this song remind you of?
Oh, this. Every time I hear this song, I see a gopher puppet dancing. You know?
Yeah.
At the end of that movie, that gopher pops up. And I'm sorry, spoilers, folks, if you haven't seen Caddyshack.
Who hasn't seen Caddyshack?
When the gopher pops up at the end and he starts dancing around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we decided we're just going to take up this entire time of just talking about some of our favorite lines from both Airplane and Caddyshack. And if you remember, Rodney Dangerfield was the big star. He was a longtime comic, but he had the best lines. You know, I remember when he hit that little small boat with his big yacht, and he goes, "Hey, you scratched my anchor."
Yeah, that was classic.
Bishop Pickering. You remember Bishop Pickering?
Yes,
from Airplane, yeah.
He's going to get around in, a thunderstorm is brewing, and he says to the guy says, "Hey, Bishop, you got to come in before the storm gets to me." He looks at Bill Murray and says, "What do you think, young fella? I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to be here some time."
He's playing out in the middle of a
horrible
storm.
Yeah. And then when this is that last part, he goes, "Oh, rat farts!" And he gets struck by lightning.
That'll show you. That'll show you. And Bill Murray's line when he finds what was causing everybody to leave the pool, holds it up, he's like, "No big deal. It's just a baby Ruth."
Oh, wait. I got to listen to this part in the song.
All right, what about Airplane? What lines in Airplane?
There we go. Oh, well, Airplane, I mean, the one that went around the high school when I was a kid was when they were saying, what do you make of this? And he gives them the paper and says, oh, it could be a hat or a brooch or a baby pterodactyl.
They were so quick on that. That's one of those movies you got to watch a couple times to see all the lines.
Yeah.
And everything. I remember he says, you got a letter from headquarters this morning. What is it? It's a big building where generals meet.
Yeah.
That's not important.
The one that I remember from that is he says, I have a question. He said, what is it? He says, it's an inquisitive statement requesting knowledge, but that's beside the point.
Did you know that Airplane was rated the funniest movie ever made based on the number of laughs per minute?
Oh, really? I can see that.
It's my favorite of the two. I like Caddyshack, but, you know.
You've got to watch it a couple times or you'll miss it.
Right.
But how do you say, so somebody sit there and go, there's a laugh. I guess they get a clicker or something.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and the thing with Caddyshack, we were talking about it before the episode started, that so much of that is just riffs. Yeah. That they just turned Bill Murray loose and said, do something
Cinderella
funny.
Story.
Yeah.
It's in the hole.
That's
it's
all
in
ad-lib.
The hole.
All ad-lib.
And Bill Murray just makes that movie. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Great, because Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, and Ted Knight, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah, I don't know how they kept a straight face.
Now I know why tigers eat their young.
But I liked this song. Kenny Loggins.
Yes.
And this song was a good song anyway.
It was a great song, I agree.
That was our entertainment pick, guys. Now we're moving on to staff picks.
I'm kicking it off here.
Rob, what you got?
Listen to this riff, man. What the riff?
Oh, yeah.
This is one of the best riffs. If you just heard that, Rick Beato, I bet he would play this as one of his top 20 riffs.
So what is this, Rob?
So this is Boulevard by Jackson Browne with an E on the end. So do you know what Boulevard he's speaking of?
Sunset.
Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, close enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently he lived above the Hollywood Boulevard, and he had in a quote that there was a place called the Gold Cup, and there's a lot of runaway kids. And there's a lot of teen prostitution around there. And the song was partly written from the point of view of a young person on that street. And he said, it's kind of like you're empathizing with them. It's time on the boulevard, but it doesn't mean this is who you are and where you'll always be. I guess that's what I was trying to say. So he was kind of, you know, there's this time period when you're just doing stuff on the boulevard. But he's got a great voice and...
Yeah. Great writer, too.
Great writer.
Great songwriter.
Yeah, down at the Golden Cup,
yep.
They set the young ones up under the neon lights.
Selling day for night.
I mean,
it's all right.
Yeah, it's great. This song came in July of 1980. It hit the charts at number 72, and it eventually made it to number 19. It was one of his most successful songs, and it was from his 1980 album, Holdout. That's where this song came from.
They just did a line in there that I really like because it's got kind of a libertarian feel to it where it says, nobody gets it the way they want it to be. Nobody offers you any guarantee.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he's a big liberal, though. That's,
oh, yeah,
I do
yeah.
know that.
But this is the song itself is pretty libertarian. It's like, you know, look, this is rough.
And listen to this. He talks about the time passes slow. Everybody walks right by.
Like they're safe or something.
They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know. You know, kind of just doing what you want. In 2004, Jackson Browne was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I thought this was interesting. Rolling Stone ranked him as number 37 in its list of the 100 greatest songwriters of all time.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could easily see that.
He's a good one.
We haven't covered an album, one of his albums.
No,
yet.
We need to.
Yeah.
We need to.
We should.
I'll put that on my list.
On the Boulevard.
I remember when the big news back in the day was who he was dating during much of his success. Do you remember who that was?
Tell us, Brian.
Daryl Hannah.
Oh.
Yeah, I recall that.
Wow,
yeah.
Actresses dating rock musicians.
Imagine that.
How did that happen?
That never happens. Uh-oh. This has got to be Wayne.
Yeah, yes, it is. Guys, we have the Pat Travers Band with snorting whiskey and drinking cocaine.
Wayne, tell me, what is snorting whiskey and drinking cocaine about?
I think it's about, it was written by Pat Travers and a fellow musician in there, and basically it was one of the guys who had just been partying all night long and got confused of what he was talking about.
He also is a guy that says, I'm not as stink as you drunk I am.
Yes. Yeah. Got this feeling I'm going to drive that girl insane. I would imagine so. This is a hard rocking blues tin song that kicks butt.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it was not a top 40 hit, but it was all over AOR radio at the time, which didn't play hits, but played what I called K-A-R-R, kick-ass rock and roll.
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier with AC/DC. And did I ever tell you guys, when I was younger, I always wanted to have a radio station and wanted to have the call signs as K-A-R-R.
Oh.
But guess what?
It's already taken.
Already taken by a Christian radio station in Seattle.
Was that there? Is that what it meant? Kick-ass rock and roll?
Nah, not, I don't know. There may be a different RR there, but...
You know, this sounds like Southern rock to me, like Molly yeah. Hatchet or Marshall Tucker or something.
I can
like
hear
that.
Well, he's from Southern Canada.
No! It is a Southern band.
He's from Toronto, so everything, so...
And little known fact, before they chose O Canada as their song, they were looking at this one.
Yeah, oh. yeah. This was up there, one of the songs.
Yeah, that's my story. I'm sticking
with it. But this song is just smoking. It's got to be great live in a festival setting.
Sure.
I was looking up what they're doing, and actually they play on the Monsters of Rock cruise. And so, you know, if you're looking for something like that,
yeah.
You know, look at some of those cruises. We talked about the 80s cruise. There's a Monsters of Rock cruise. I think one coming up has Alice Cooper going to be heading it with Pat Travers. But this is high energy. Doesn't matter any of the songs. You know, this is the type of music you're going to be hearing.
What if just a... It feels like a late 70s rock, and I guess, you know, it's the middle of 1980 here, but it still has that 70s ZZ Top feel. Or
ZZ
Top. Technically, it's still part of the
70s.
1980 is the last year of the 70s.
That's true. He did another song called Boom Boom, Out Goes the Light. It was a cover song. We'll probably have to cover it. I'm not going to talk about what that song's about in this podcast. We'll probably pull that one up again. But
oh, that's a fantastic one.
Pat Travers Band, snorting whiskey and drinking cocaine.
Mm.
All right. Guys, let's keep the energy level up with another rocking song.
Bruce, what do you got, buddy? Oh man, this is it.
Guys,
the worst song ever.
This is attributed. Bruce, are you going to attribute this to Wayne today?
Dear listener, there just became a lot of social distancing going on in the What the Riff studios, and it's not because of coronavirus.
I'm boycotting. I'm joining a boycott.
This is Emotional Rescue by the Rolling Stones. Several episodes ago, Wayne mentioned that his appreciation for this song, and I made a mental note that I had to pull this one up, and honestly... I can't say that I like this song. But here's the thing. So this is a track from their 17th studio album.
Dang.
It's got a decidedly disco beat.
Yes.
What is it about this that makes this such a bad song?
I don't like his voice singing that way.
Okay, that's one. So
I'll be your knight in shining armor.
Okay, now that I think is kind of awesome. But I mean, here's the thing. So they went with the disco thing, and this is a very divisive song.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Keith Richards apparently didn't care for it a whole lot.
I'm there with Keith,
and their bass did not like this. this.
Oh,
either.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is definitely disco. And it's in 1980. This is kind of where the disco was going.
Disco's dead,
away,
yeah.
Right? Yep. So Mick Jagger wrote this. He actually wrote it on a electric piano.
You mean toilet paper?
Oh.
and you can, it's got the disco backbeat and the falsetto. It's, you know, they're definitely going
He's
for the
He's trying
disco
to be the
sound.
Bee Gees here.
Yes, definitely. And I think that kind of makes it a little off-putting, too.
The Bee Gees weren't even relevant in 1980, so.
But there are two redeeming characteristics of this song.
Uh-huh.
Okay. One is the saxophone.
Yes.
The saxophone is really good.
Yeah.
And I would also say...
But if I may say, Wyman's doing a nice job on the bass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Wyman is... That's solid. Yeah.
I mean, they're
that's
team solid. Players. They just didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like with Van Halen doing, you know, Diver Down was Roth's project.
Yes.
The Van Halen bros hated it.
Right. So you like the sax, and what
so
else?
So I like the sax. The other part is the spoken lyrics. It is so bad, it is awesome.
Now, see, I like this register that he's in.
Yeah. Well, and in general, this is what the Rolling Stones have done a good job with, is they have always done songs that are in a decent range.
Yeah.
And so you can sing it into your 80s, and they are. I mean, they're continuing to
All
to
I'm here is, I was made for loving you.
Well, that's
Kiss is disco that came out about this time.
And Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy?
Well, you know, another interesting thing about this is it was number one on the rock charts in this month. But the Stones never played it live until 2013.
No kidding.
Yeah. So at the time, they didn't play it, which I find interesting. Oh, I like this. I like this lyric here.
Yeah.
So stealthy, so animal quiet.
Wayne's over there. So, ladies and gentlemen, Wayne is over here just groaning in agony here.
Fast forward through this part of it.
I'm just glad we put Wayne's song in front of this.
Yes.
That's right. Maybe we can keep people listening to it because they know something else is coming.
Here you go. Wayne's favorite part right here. Go ahead, Wayne.
Here we go.
Yes, you could be mine.
Could be mine.
Tonight and every night.
So here's the thing. The song is about a girl that has issues, and this guy wants to come to her rescue. That's the idea of it. And
he really cares.
Yeah, the Rolling Stones were never known as being particularly, you know,
empathetic.
Strong. Yeah, exactly.
So. Well, here's some other songs of July 1980 that could have been played instead. I'm Coming Up, Paul McCartney and Wings. It's Still Rock and Roll to Me by Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. Even The Rose by Bette Midler would have been better than this.
Well, I don't know about that.
Little Genie by Elton John.
Little Genie, that was
a good one.
Cupid, I'd Love You for a Long Time. The Spinners would have been a better song than this one.
No
Please.
Offense to all the rest of the great work that the Rolling Stones
are just iconic. So, I'm sure Wayne will get me back at some point, but I just had to put that one on the list.
I think this should have probably been featured with Toto.
We could do that.
Yeah.
But the sax is good, too. I like the saxophone work on this.
It really is.
You're on my ass list, Bruce.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you brought it. He said he was going to, and a man of his word.
Amen.
Here we go.
There we go.
So now we're coming back to Brian because he started it. Now he's going to end it.
I'm going to end it. You recognize the riff already, gentlemen?
Indeed.
And this is the live version, which I think is the only version.
Oh, really? Okay, because this is off. If you recall, what movie did this appear?
Urban Cowboy?
Urban Cowboy. Oh. Very good. Give Rob a gold star. As we know, back in the day, John Travolta could do no wrong. I mean, he's going from, you know, Welcome Back, Cotter, to where he was a superstar. Saturday Night Fever blew it out. To Grease.
Mm-hmm.
And then you couldn't do wrong. And then finally with Urban Cowboy.
Listen to that voice.
That Is there any doubt who's singing that?
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Walsh has a clearly this singing voice. This song is called All Night Long. The irony is, this song not only made it on the rock chart, but it also made it on the country and western chart.
Okay.
Sure. I can see that.
So he did very, very well with it. And this is probably his biggest hit, along with Life's Been Good to Me So Far.
Yes.
So those were his two huge hits as a solo act. So
the line in there about just a pinch between your cheek and gums, that takes me back to high school.
Oh, yeah. How many times did you get sick off of snuff?
Yeah. Now, I never did chewing tobacco, but I had a lot of friends.
This California boy did not do that.
I tried a few times, and I remember just like
I started spinning.
Yeah.
This my thing was with my friends that dipped is I would say, you know, you're going to look awfully funny with no lower jaw.
Oh.
Well, look what he's talking about, like a long neck and a good old song. I'm trying to remember, but it's been many years since I've seen Urban Cowboy, but I'm trying to, was this at the beginning when Travolta first goes into the Gillies?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it playing in the background? Because a lot of the things that were featured were Gilly songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it was whenever Gilly wasn't in there, and I think it's when he's...
Well, Urban Cowboy did start everybody wearing cowboy hats and cowboy boots.
And the nightclubs turned into
exactly,
those.
Exactly. It flipped. And you had those, those bulls that you can
mechanical
ride on.
Mechanical bulls.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Mechanical bulls in there. And discos just disappeared real fast. Yeah. I mean, when suddenly this came up.
This was a really good live album, too. Eagles Live from 1980.
I love it. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, in July of 1980, the Eagles ended their tour with a show in Long Beach, California, and they said they would never play together again until hell froze over.
Right.
And hell froze over in 1994.
Or as Glenn Frey would say, we never broke up. We just took a 14-year vacation.
Yes.
Wasn't that the name of their tour? The Hell Freezes Over tour?
It was the name of the album, too. Hell Freezes Over.
Yeah. I've got both.
Yeah, I remember all the cowboy hats and the dip. I mean, I remember guys in ninth grade dipping and spitting on the carpet by their desk.
No.
Yeah, hiding it from the teacher and everything. It was just nasty.
Well, I have over the years enjoyed telling people about my high school and the smoking area that we had for students.
We had one. Yeah. So, my kids can't believe we had a smoking area. But all the guys back there with their leather lace-up boots, suede,
I remember that.
We called them the maggot boots back there in the smoking section.
Speaking of, back to Joe Walsh, here's a fun fact. What movie did he appear in?
It was a cowboy movie, wasn't it? Wasn't it a cowboy movie?
No.
No?
You got me.
The Blues Brothers.
Oh, did he really?
Remember, he was in the prison scene when they were playing the prison band, and he's the one that first jumped on the table.
Oh.
So he did.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So Joe
Blues
Wilson.
Brothers, that's another album we're going to have to bring up.
Yeah.
Reprise.
You could tell this is the live version.
Probably the ending of the show with that. Well, in music of 1980, July... Over 2 months after the suicide of lead singer Ian Curtis, the surviving members of Joy Division regrouped in a new band called The New Order.
Ooh.
And Joy Division did put out an album same time of July of 1980 called Closer. You had Rick James have the album Garden of Love. Echo and the Bunnymen had Crocodiles. Charlie Daniels Band had Full Moon.
That was a big album.
Yeah. So, again, there's some more cowboy stuff happening with Charlie Daniels.
Hall & Oates had Voices. And Eddie Money had Playing for Keeps. Oh, and I forgot, Chicago. You know, it was another year, another album.
Yeah. Another Chicago, double album?
Chicago 14.
I think that's really the end.
That really is the end.
All right, Brian.
I think.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure.
By day, a mild-mannered road crew. By night, maniacs.
All right. So now we're going to go to our final track, which is, I guess,
it's usually a comedy or instrumental.
This would be a laugh track, I think.
Well, what that kind of leads a nice segue into it. We talked about Joe Walsh being in the Blues Brothers.
That's
movie.
Right. That's true. And this is the Blues Brothers with
Give Me Some Lovin'.
You know, this is a comedy movie, but the song itself is kind of awesome.
Oh, it is awesome.
Well, that's the reason why they came up with all it. They wanted to play music. Mm-hmm. And this was a skit on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And so they wanted to have this part of the show, and the Blues Brothers was the band at that time that came out. And they just loved the old blues, high energy soul music that came out in the 60s. And they just basically rehashed it. You know, Sam and Dave song. Just
Wilson Pickett.
They had tons of songs like that. So this was part of that. And the movie, Blues Brothers movie, is probably another one we could have done quotes from.
They were on a mission from God.
That's right. That's right.
I thought the name of the song was Gimme Summer Loving. He says, Gimme Summer Loving.
Yeah, I like that.
Usually use this time to kind of catch up what we didn't talk about. Other films that came out July of 1980. Alligator. You guys remember that one? Mm. It was sort of
No,
Jaws,
but I've run across a few
of them. Jaws in the Sewer.
Mm. That's what you get for flushing your pet alligator down the toilet.
Cheech and Chong's next movie, the follow-up to Up
that.
In Smoke.
Yep.
The Blue Lagoon, where two cousins are marooned on a tropical paradise and ended up hooking up.
I couldn't stand it.
That's the one with Brooke Shields.
Yeah, yep. couldn't watch it.
No, I never saw it. Used Cars, I did see that one with Kurt Russell, sort of a black comedy about an unsuccessful used car dealer. Then, believe it or not, Jamie Lee Curtis was in another slasher movie called Prom Night.
Oh, not Halloween.
Not Halloween. Leslie Nielsen was in that one.
Huh. Going back to Airplane.
Yeah, exactly. Chevy Chase was in another movie called Oh Heavenly Dog that had Benji.
Oh, yeah.
Jane Seymour and Omar Sharif was in that. It's like, man, there's a lot of stars in that movie. Dress to Kill, which was basically a slasher film with Michael Caine and Angie Dickinson.
Angie Dickinson?
Yeah.
Huh.
But that was July of 1980. You've been listening to What the Riff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Bruce.
We'll see y'all next time.
Thanks for listening to What the Riff. We hope you enjoyed the songs we had on tap today. Please tell your friends about us. Check us out at whattheriff.com and follow us on Facebook. Special thanks to our sponsors, Wright Collin Financial, Stanton Electric, and Marbury Creative Group. That's all for this week. See you next week on What the Riff?